You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered.
Listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018.
I want to make the promise, and I'll go on record saying I think we're gonna make people laugh, and we might make some people cry. And I think people are going to leave having a very emotional but also a very mind-expanding experience.
TEDx returns to Bloomington in today's feature report. We'll hear from TEDx founder and director Allison Borland, who talks about the event celebrating innovation in Bloomington. That's coming up later in the program.
Also coming up in the next half hour, gifts you don't want. What to do when you receive a check for a bigger amount than you expected. On a new edition of our Consumer Watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
The Hoosier Times, a media group which owns several prominent publications in WFHB's listening area, is cutting 17 jobs at local papers. The Herald Times of Bloomington's managing editor Bob Salzberg made the announcement in today's edition of the Herald Times. Salzberg says the media group, which also owns Bedford's Times-Mail, Martinsville's Reporter Times, and the Spencer Evening World, is cutting over a dozen jobs between the four publications. Salzberg says the media group is dismissing 17 staff members due in part to rising costs. A part of those costs, Salzberg says, is due to the United States' ongoing trade disputes.
We're still committed to covering the community as well as we can possibly cover it, as well as the other communities in the Hoosier Times group. But, the fact is that it is a for-profit organization, and we have to make sure that we have enough revenue coming in to support the expenses going out and still maintain a level of profitability. The fact is that, revenues have been hurt. It's no surprise in the newspaper business, but also very significant increases in newsprint costs. Partially caused by new tariffs, have increased our expenses. So, these aren't decisions that are made lightly, but just is something that we felt like we had to do.
In today's Herald Times, Salzberg wrote that some of the positions at the Hoosier Times Media Group were terminated immediately, and others will remain with their respective publications for a short while longer.
I think this is a bit of a reality check on the value of community media, and just like WFHB has to have fundraisers every year to get support to do the news that you do and to do the work that you do, we rely on revenue coming in to our organization to be able to support the journalism that we do every day.
The Hoosier Times Media Group currently employs 173 staff members. The group is based out of Mishawaka, Indiana.
The Indiana State Police were dispatched to State Road 4546 bypass in Bloomington this morning. Officers were dispatched to help direct traffic around 9 a.m. Despite state troopers' efforts, area residents reported longer than average commuting time. Residents reported waiting 45 minutes to an hour in traffic, particularly along the State Road 4546 bypass. Students in the Monroe County Community School District were also reportedly late to classes this morning. The heavy traffic came after Indiana State Police shut down lanes along the bypass yesterday afternoon after a crane struck an overpass beam. State Police Sergeant Kurt Dunnell issued a statement that a crane on the back of a truck struck the Arlington Road overpass near the intersection of State Road 4546 Bypass and Highway 37. Indiana Department of Transportation official Harry McGinnity says workers have blocked off the shoulder of Arlington Road due to damage to the beam.
The outside beam was damaged, and it is going to need repair. That takes a little time, takes a little design work and getting things scheduled. So that's not going to happen right away. But in the future, NDOT will have people out there, probably a contracted crew, to make repairs on that beam, okay, that was damaged by the man lift. Meanwhile, we have placed barrels on the eastbound side on the shoulder there. And with those barrels on the shoulder, because this damaged beam is under the shoulder, it's going to keep all load off of that beam. So the barrels are there, the shoulder's restricted, all the lanes are open. You know, there's all your lanes are open, your shoulder on the east side is restricted. And that's so that you don't put extra weight on that damaged beam.
McGinnity says he's not sure when repair crews will start work on Arlington Road overpass. He says crews have worked through the night on another bridge project along the bypass. They're currently in the process of resurfacing a bridge along the bypass.
They worked 24-hour shift yesterday. The guys were out there 24 hours, and they are now going into phase two of two phases. They'll be working on the outside lanes. They worked on the inside lanes and with traffic running on the outside lanes. Now they're going to be switching traffic this afternoon to overlay the outside lanes, so traffic's going to be channeled to the inside lanes.
McGinnity says the bridge project along the bypass will most likely be done by next week if crews have good weather this weekend. The City of Bloomington reports that Indiana State Police troopers will be on hand tomorrow morning to help direct traffic and hopefully reduce commute times.
And Bloomington commuters can expect further traffic restrictions and lane closures due to three upcoming projects planned for the city's northwest side. Sidewalk and stormwater construction will impact traffic along 17th Street. Water main improvements will impact Arlington Road, and I-69-related bridge projects will impact traffic on the State Road 4546 bypass. The sidewalk storm water project will begin next year on 17th Street between the Vernal Pike overpass and the Arlington Road roundabout. Project engineer Neil Copper explained these latest improvements to the Board of Public Works last night.
So since 17th Street has been connected across what will be I-69, it is now a much more major street than it used to be. It's carrying a lot more traffic than it used to have. It wasn't built in a way to withstand that traffic. It doesn't have any continuous sidewalks along it. It doesn't have stormwater in any way along it. So we're completely reconstructing 17th Street in that area. We've had a series of public meetings with residents and neighborhood associations in there. There will be sidewalk added to the south side of the street, multi-use path added to the north side of the street, continuous stormwater along it, generally completely rebuilding the entire road.
The board approved amending its contract with Aztec Engineering to handle the improvements. Copper expects construction will begin in the spring of 2019 and will be completed by the end of next year. The Bloomington Board of Public Works also approved temporary lane closures while City Utilities improves water mains along Arlington Road north of 17th Street. Engineering specialist Sarah Gomez says the project will run from September 1st until January 1st of 2019.
The majority of the work would require mobile lane closures on Arlington. Intermittent temporary northbound and southbound closures would be in place. As they move from 17th Street north, there would be a week-long lane closure just north of the roundabout.
According to Gomez, work on the project will only occur between 9 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. Hickory Lane off of Arlington Road will be closed for up to 5 days during the project. Kendall Kinoki, a project engineer with Smith, Brehab & Associates, is working with the city on the three-phase project. He explains how Hickory Lane residents will be detoured through a north-south alley.
We're planning on utilizing that existing alley to detour traffic, and so really the only worst part of this, where there's going to be some really no other way to get around, is phase three. And in that situation, there's about four or five homes back there where in order to get through during the construction time when the crews are out there, they're going to have to lay down plates, let the resident drive over whatever direction they need to go, and then remove the plates and keep working. Unfortunately, with the 12-foot alley in there, there wasn't any other way to do it. But during phases one and two, the residents will be able to bypass through West Goerly Pike and should be able to access their properties without any issue.
Okay. Kinoki says the entire aging water main will be replaced and new connections added to improve water pressure.
And there's also several gaps in fire coverage that are being fixed as part of this project. There's very few fire hydrants along Arlington Road and Hickory Lane, and this is bringing that up to current standards so that there'll be hydrants all the way along the route and everything should be in fire coverage.
The water main project will coincide with I-69 related bridge work at the 4546 overpass. Bloomington Public Works Director Adam Wason says the project is slated to run from September 7th through mid-November.
They'll be working on the approaches to the bridge as well as doing ramp work, which could involve some full closures of the ramps. One important factor in this to remember is that there won't be any detour for the project because there won't be full closures of the east and westbound traffic on the bypass. You know, I think staff's comfortable knowing that, you know, that it's not a full closure where they would be detouring traffic onto Arlington Road or anything like that.
Wason acknowledged travelers on the bypass will be inconvenienced, but he explained the Indiana Department of Transportation decided to tackle the bridge project now while they already have contractors working in the area.
Support for WFHB comes from Cardinal Spirits Distillery, located on the B Line. Cardinal Spirits has opened a new kitchen featuring local seasonal food made from scratch to complement their craft cocktails. Dinner is available Tuesday through Saturday at Cardinal Spirits, 922 South Morton Street. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. Support for WFHB comes from listeners like you and from the IU Health Foundation, where local gifts stay local, serving patients for a healthier Bloomington.
This Friday marks the return of TEDx Bloomington. On a hiatus since 2011, TEDx was brought to Bloomington by Allison Borland, who now heads this Friday's event.
Our first event took place, though, in 2011. So we have not done a TEDx Bloomington every year, and it's been a couple years since we have done one because TEDx IU had started and wanted to give them some space to establish themselves within our community as well. But they've done a great job. They've, you know, produced a phenomenal event the last couple of years. So we thought that, you know, being the awesome town that it is, there was definitely space for us to continue TEDx Bloomington as well. And so we have proposed and are executing on our TEDx Bloomington for 2018 this Friday. That's August 24th, and that'll be at the Kurt Chumley Theater. There's lots of different types of, and in this case, they're TEDx events. So the X is really important because that's the part that denotes the fact that they're independently organized. So they're licensed by TED, but they're independently organized by communities all over the world. It's a pretty well-established conference. The T stands for technology, the E stands for entertainment, and the D stands for design. So it was a group that brought together people to hear innovative and engaging presentations around those topics. And over the years, it's kind of evolved. There's a lot more social issues, a lot more kind of philanthropically oriented, a variety of different topics. And TED events still happen every year, and those are attended by people all over the world. The TEDx program was established to give local communities a chance to hold their own events and contribute their own talks. And TEDx events, like I mentioned, were independently organized. So there's literally thousands of TEDx events taking place all over the world on an annual basis. And those are producing, you know, thousands and thousands of TEDx talks every year too. And then those talks can be viewed by individuals all over the world, and they help local communities spread their ideas with the world, but they're also really engaging ways to bring new ideas into our community. And that's really the big part of why we are so passionate about providing TEDx Bloomington and in seeking to fund this program for Bloomington. We're excited about the ideas that we're able to put forth from our community out onto the world stage. And we're also really excited to pull in some engaging ideas that we think are of benefit and will resonate well within our community, too. We're bringing someone down from South Bend. And, you know, he works very closely with his city, and he's going to be talking about some of the challenges that cities and his city in particular have faced, and the particular challenges of university and municipal kind of partnerships. So, you know, South Bend obviously being the home of Notre Dame, there's some interesting parallels between Bloomington, which is also home to Indiana University, and they've found some really neat ways in South Bend to work more effectively with their university and some really cool technological solutions to combat the challenges of, you know, ever-growing cities. So that one, I think, is, you know, perfect for a town like Bloomington, where we do rely so much on the university and the university relies so much on our community. I think that's a great example of something that was really a hand-picked idea that we were really passionate about bringing and presenting to our Bloomington community. The event's going to kick off at 6:30 on Friday night. The doors will open at 6, so folks are welcome and encouraged to actually show up early for the event. We're going to have some really cool stations scattered around the theater where our visitors and attendees will be able to interact with other community members who are also doing really cool things. And we're going to be bringing those people up onto the stage at different points during the evening and giving them a chance to kind of highlight some of the cool things that they're doing in addition to the speakers that are giving more formal presentations. So that's kind of a cool addition to this year's event. We're calling it our Garden of Ideas in keeping with our theme, which is Grow. And I guess I should back up and mention the fact that that's kind of unique. So every TEDx event has a theme, but we can't be literal about the theme. So TED rules state that you kind of have to have a variety of different viewpoints on a particular topic. So we're addressing the topic of growth from a variety of different perspectives. So some of them are, you know, we mentioned the fact that we have a speaker talking about growth from a municipal point of view or a city point of view. We also have people thinking about growth from a social point of view, from kind of social justice movement type of view. And literally the idea, growth of ideas, is another topic that's being explored. So we're taking a very broad view of growth, and we're really excited about that. So jumping back into our lineup, we're going to kick off the evening with some musical performances by Opal Fly and Kapow. We're super excited to have them performing. We think they're going to bring a lot of energy and get folks up and out of their seats, hopefully at some time throughout the evening. We're also going to be showing some curated TED Talks, so things that have been specifically selected to go along with some of the other talks that our live speakers are going to be giving. Our first presenter is Shannon Downey. She is coming to us via Chicago, and she's a craftivist. She gained notoriety through her work around the Me Too movement, which was using craft as a medium to bring certain challenges to greater attention. So we're really looking forward to her kicking off the evening. I think she's got a really fun and engaging talk. I want to make the promise, and I'll go on record saying I think we're gonna make people laugh, and we might make some people cry. And I think people are going to leave having a very emotional but also a very mind-expanding experience. Our second speaker is Brian Richardson, Jr., and he is here from Bloomington. And he's, like you mentioned earlier, the founder of the Crimson Leadership Academy at Fairview Elementary. And he's been working with youth and young adults for quite some time and is going to reflect on that process and how that's led to personal growth in addition to the opportunities to help those groups of individuals grow as well. Our third speaker is Santi Garces. He is the one I had mentioned coming down to us from South Bend, and we're really excited to hear his take on the challenges and benefits of cities, but also the ways that universities and city communities can work more collaboratively with one another. We'll have another break for folks to engage with the Garden of Ideas and mingle with other attendees. That's a really big part of a TEDx event as well. So it's not just about coming and listening. It's about coming and interacting with other people who, you know, are engaged around some of the same topics or might be engaged in different things. So it's an opportunity to grow a personal network as well. So after some more performance from Opal Fly and Kapow, we are going to have presentations from Michelle Mattoon. Michelle is also from Bloomington, and she's going to be presenting on the belonging mindset, which is a concept that really looks at what dynamics take place within groups, and more specifically, what groups can do to better include those with diversity, so people that are different than the majority of group members. And obviously, I think that's a very timely topic for the world that we live in. Our next speaker is Leslie Bartelt, and she is a speaker who's going to be talking about the fact that pregnancy is not just a women's issue. She does a lot of work with the LGBTQ plus community and actually is going to provide some interesting examples of people who don't identify as women or female, but have experienced pregnancy, and you know, talking about their experience and how we need to broaden our mindset around pregnancy to realize that different people experience it different ways. They may see it as a positive thing or a challenging thing, and that we need to think of it beyond being just a women's issue. The last presenter is Brian Janosch. He's an IU graduate but comes to us via California. He is a former Onion employee and has also done some great comedy writing for a variety of different folks in kind of popular entertainment circles. And he's going to be taking a very entertaining look at brainstorming and how we're doing it all wrong and giving us some practical tips on actually how to make brainstorming more effective to help grow creative ideas.
That was Allison Borland, director of TEDx Bloomington. TEDx Bloomington takes place this Friday at Buskirk Chumley Theater.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Up next, our weekly consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware.
Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your consumer watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
Ever get a gift you didn't really want? I'm not talking about an ugly sweater for Christmas like Harry Potter, or even incredibly stupid pink bunny pajamas like Ralphie in Gene Shepherd's Christmas Story. I'm talking about gifts from grifters, foul freebies meant to suck you into a scam. Ever get a credit card you didn't apply for? The Indiana Attorney General has taken time out from his own personal troubles to send out a warning about a California company called Connector Capital, which has been mailing credit cards to people at their work which feature the name of the business they work for. They promise a high credit limit and want the suckers who get them to activate the card by giving up their personal financial information. Now, to start with, the Federal Truth in Lending Act made it flat illegal to send unsolicited credit cards. And besides that, Connector Capital has an F rating with the Better Business Bureau. If you didn't apply, let the credit card die. Ever get an email claiming the sender knows you've been watching porn on your computer and even has pictures or video from your computer's camera of you doing it? They demand money, or they'll send the evidence to all your family and friends. But don't believe it. They won't, because they can't, because it's all a lie. This is a straight blackmail scheme, and the FBI put out a warning about it last week. It's hitting right here in Bloomington. We've already had a personal report, and all over the country. Millions of these fake emails are being shotgunned, mostly to men in affluent neighborhoods, in hopes of hooking, so to speak, guys with guilty consciences. Once you start paying blackmail, it never ends. So don't be a don't be a victim. Ever get a surprise message from a famous person? It might be an email or a post on some social media, and it asks for your help in some kind of good cause or tells you you've won some kind of prize. It's exciting to be directly in touch with a celebrity, and you may be tempted to show your appreciation by doing what they ask. But don't, because you aren't in touch with a celebrity, that is. You're in touch with an imposter who is also a thief. The Federal Trade Commission is warning about this con game, and they advise you to do an online search for the famous person's name plus the word scam if some celebrity singles you out. Never, ever send money or gift cards or prepaid money cards to anyone you haven't met in person. If you haven't shaken their hand, they may well be trying to shake you down. Anything you get for free is probably worth exactly what it cost. I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at wfhb.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@wfhb.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish. Our feature was produced by Wes Martin.
Our engineer today is Wes Martin. Our theme music provided by Ben Lumsdain, Danny Graff, and Scott Schmadeke. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Scott Weddle.
And I'm Barbara Fuqua. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program, recognized among the best newscasts in 2016 by the Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@wfhb.org. And stay tuned for the Hijabi Diaries, a new series on WFHB examining the experiences and issues facing Muslim women. The Hijabi Diaries are coming up next.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a Daily Local News volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at wfhb.org and catch live broadcasts of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.